Alaikum, everybody. So on today's episode, we talk with Shahara Wooten, an author, speaker, financial life planner, strategist, and we absolutely loved the conversation we had with her. We touch on financial goals and the concept of generational wealth, and then we finish it off with not only financial tips for women, but also some pearls surrounding the day-to-day mindset and lifestyle management in such a busy world. And so that'll be coming up after a few words from our sponsors. Enjoy.
Here's what our clients have to say about Ijara CDC.
I had the pleasure of working with Ijara to get an Islamic transaction for an investment property, and I cannot be more thankful for the efforts they made for me.
To be honest, I couldn't recommend this company enough. It's a business that cares about its clients. We plan to continue financing through them for many years to come, and we hope many others to do the same.
For more details, visit our website at ijaracdc.com or contact us at 877-864-5272 or email at info@ijaracdc.com. We can't wait to work with you.
Welcome to the Muslim Woman in Finance podcast with your hosts, Lisa and Amira. And today we have a special guest, Shahara Wooten, and we're going to be discussing the importance of building wealth for women. We're going to be taking a look at specific populations within our community and analyzing a little bit of data on why it's important specifically for women of color to build wealth. And we'll be talking a little bit about generational wealth and the importance of that for women. So Amira is going to go ahead and share the bio of our guest and get started with some questions.
Shahara Wooten is an author, speaker, financial life planner, strategist, and the founder of Your Story Financial LLC, a virtual fee-only fiduciary boutique firm committed to helping women and STEM professionals move from unsure to confident, to being confident about their financial decisions. She has over 17 years of experience in the financial service industry, and she is a certified financial planner professional helping individuals and families improve their financial position and craft their amazing financial success story, regardless of their age or amount of assets. So welcome to the show, Shahara. We are so thankful you're here to join us today.
Thank you so much, Lisa and Amira. I really appreciate you both having me here today.
It's our pleasure. So I'd like to start us off by maybe having you share with our audience what led you to pursue a profession in helping women and families succeed financially and kind of what that trajectory looked like for you when you first started.
Absolutely. Yes. So, you know, I actually go back to the 25-year-old Shahara, right? And so when I was 25, I had graduated by that point and been working my first job for a few years. I had graduated as an engineer. So from the Ohio State University and an electrical and computer engineer. And I was living in Philadelphia at this time. And I remember going to an event hosted by the Urban League Young Professionals. And it was an economic empowerment event. And I had never been to one before. But it just seemed like it just such an awesome opportunity. And there were financial advisors, there were actually insurance agents. And at this moment, I see a financial advisor at a bank, a table, and it was a major bank that's still around today. And I said, you know what, I'm going to walk up to him. And I told him, I said, hey, I am 25 and I want to retire by 30. So at that time in my life, 30 seemed ancient and, 5 years did seem like a short period of time. So I did have that much mind to know that 5 years was a very short period of time, but 30 just seemed ancient. So from that, I ended up meeting with him and I ended up coming home with a packet of papers, and I thought we opened an account, but we just really nothing ever happened. And from there, I just was like, okay, how do I make this happen? I grabbed my hand on everything, like Think and Grow Rich, every book I could. The church that I attended was doing a lot of financial literacy workshops. And I just kept learning and learning to the point where I decided that, you know what, I want to be a financial advisor. And that's when I changed careers And I wanted to do it because I wanted to help people to be able to learn about this, get their financial house in order. And I just wanted to be a part of that solution because I knew we just don't learn it in school. And that was the beginning of my journey towards financial literacy and starting a business. I actually went into corporate for some time and then went to a broker-dealer firm, and I was working with people in Phoenix. And in 2016, after getting some more revelation about what I want to do and understanding my purpose even more, I decided to start my own firm. And that's where you alluded to, that I am focused on helping people regardless of how many assets they have or their age, and really being able to get people people more access to financial planning and financial advisors. So that now if a 25-year-old walked up to me and said, I want to retire by 30, I'll be able to help them put together a game plan. We can decide if this is realistic based on their situation or not. It could very well have been that way for them. And I can help them now. So that is part of my journey and where I'm at today.
That's amazing. And good on you for reaching, you know, taking the initiative and being proactive about your finances, because we all know that not everybody does that. And because we maybe don't know, right? And so a big part of that is educating others and enlightening them, right? So that's
absolutely awesome. Yes.
I want to go back to, you mentioned, you know, you went to a financial advisor. A lot of people don't want to go that route because of the fees involved in hiring someone. Do you have any comments about that?
Yes. No, I could see that. It could be intimidating. But I do believe that we have to make investments in ourselves. And obviously, for one, it's important to find somebody that you can trust. Find someone that you believe will be able to educate you based on where you're at. And when I think about people who make it, and when you look at, you know, various business owners and entrepreneurs, they have a team of professionals. And so those professionals obviously are not free, whether it's an attorney, whether it's a CPA, whether it is a financial advisor, or a business coach, or a career coach. We have to make that investment in ourselves. And that is where it's a question of how much do you value yourself and how far do you want to go? Because it's very hard to get to where you want to go, usually by yourself. So if you can find somebody who's a little bit ahead of you or way ahead of you, and they can help you and handhold you through that, and you're willing to make that investment, then you will get there even quicker than someone who just wants to do everything themselves. And so, yes, it's very intimidating initially, but I like people to think of it as an investment in yourself.
Why is this so more important for women, particularly women of color? Building wealth and taking your wealth seriously, such as, you know, hiring a professional to walk you through your finances and kind of show you what a game plan would look like. Why is that important, particularly for women of color?
Absolutely. Yeah. So one of the things, so I wrote a book, it's called In the Meantime, Own Your Financial Narrative. And a big catalyst for me writing that, and I'm going to just really take the whole, a whole ethnicity here, but being that I'm a Black woman, I was very, astounded when I heard the statistic that Black wealth is going to go to zero by 2053. And obviously, when the statistic says Black wealth, that includes me as a Black woman. And so I was just like, I have to do something about that. There is a wealth gap of 228 years between Black wealth and white wealth, and that's huge. And in 2016, there was a study done as well showing that Black families had $17,000 in net worth, and then white families had $171,000 in net worth. Again, I'm a Black woman. I am included in that statistic. So it was really important for me to see what can I do about that. And just even to the statistic where by 2053, Black wealth will go to zero. There was a study, that same study compared Latino families. Their wealth will go to zero by 2073 is what the prediction is. And by 2053, white wealth is supposed to, white families' wealth is going to go to about $137,000. Whereas, and then by 2073, theirs will also go to about $147,000. So with all of those statistics, wherever you fall, obviously I spoke about Black wealth and white wealth, but and Latino wealth, but wherever you fall, you can see that the trajectory is not very good if you are not a white person, basically, or part of, you know, that ethnicity. So it's very sad. And so this is why it's so important and imperative for people to take the time to understand your wealth, understand your net worth. And it's an equation. I always start off with that. I do start that in my book talking about net worth. It means assets minus liabilities. So it's important to understand what are your assets, what are your liabilities. And if you subtract and take the assets minus liabilities, if it's a positive number, yay, continue to increase your assets so that you can increase your net worth. If it's a negative number, then continue to work on your debt. Because every time you're paying off a debt, every time you're releasing that paying that down, you are actually increasing your net worth, whether you feel like it or not. And it may feel like you're in this deep hole, but you can continue to get out of that. And the importance of that is because you want to have peace of mind. A lot of people tell me, I want to have peace of mind with my money. I want financial freedom. I want to be able to decide when and where and what time I'm going to travel and where I'm going to go. I want to be able to take my family on a major trip, or I want to buy a house on some major property and be able to have the rest of my family come on that property, not just my siblings and my parents, but I want to have my cousins and my aunt and uncle. And so there's these dreams that everybody has. And this is why it's so important for people of color and all nationalities to begin to be serious and take urgent action towards your financial freedom, your financial plan, so that we can close that wealth gap and all those statistics that I talked about. On top of that, I'm going to also just talk about income too, because income is super important. There's a gender wage gap. There's a racial wage gap. I mean, it's absolutely astounding there too. And we share these statistics just because hopefully it helps people to get more urgent and convicted about, I want to have these things for my family. I want to be able to create generational wealth. And so knowing these statistics, I think, help you to be more motivated. And so in terms of the gender wage gap, a statistic back in 2018, and a lot of people may hear this, but there's definitely a lag for various ethnicities, women of color mostly. White women would make about 79 cents on the dollar compared to white male counterparts. Black women, 62 cents on the dollar. Hispanic or Latino women, 54 cents on the dollar. Asian women, 90 cents on the dollar. American Indian and Alaskan natives, 57 cents on the dollar. So you can see how that can affect your your ability to bring in wealth. And it's huge. In my program, I have a program that I do, and I talk about that. I talk about the various ethnicities, what kind of wealth they can generate because of their income. And it's usually so far behind the other ethnicities. So again, we got to go back to our why. We got to go back to what is our vision for our life? And my book, like I said, it's called In the Meantime. It's called Own Your Financial Narrative, because there's so much coming at us. There's so many challenges, so many statistics, like these horrible statistics I'm sharing. But I just say, in the meantime, how can you own your narrative? How can you create a plot twist? You know, whatever you've come from, whatever background you have, we don't have to stand for what the statistics say. We can actually create a narrative that's going to work for us and our family. So I know it was a long response, but it was so much to say about that.
Well, and I appreciate you sharing those statistics, because, you know, if we don't know these statistics, we may not feel compelled to act, right? And so, absolutely, you know, I hear that, and that's very concerning, the fact that minority wealth and net worth is really disappearing right before our eyes, before our children's eyes in our lifetime. And then you add to all that, you know, the systemic disparities that exist within racialized communities. When we talk about closing those gaps, the term generational wealth tends to come up. And I know that's a big part of kind of what we're hoping to chat about tonight. What is generational wealth, and how, I guess, would you best explain that to individuals coming to you for help?
Salam, fellow sisters. My name is Rizwana, and I'm an investment advisor with Sharia Portfolio, a halal wealth management company. It's exciting to see so many of you here growing and improving your knowledge of personal finance. At Sharia Portfolio, we help many individuals like yourselves to become prudent investors in a Sharia compliant and ethical manner. I'd love to have a conversation with you to learn about your goals and explore options that suit your needs. So don't hesitate, give me a call at 510-684-5196 or visit shariaportfolio.com to learn more. Remember, you don't need to compromise your values, because there is a halal way to invest.
So I believe that, you know, the specific answer to that is going to be very personal. But as a broad brushstroke on that, generational wealth is being able to pass on wealth. Like, none of this, if someone was telling me, like, when we pass on, there's not going to be a U-Haul truck behind us, you know, to go with us to the grave. I know that's very morbid, but when you're talking about generational wealth, we are talking about legacy. We're talking about when we leave this earth, how are we going to leave the next generation, and how are we going to set them up for success? And, you know, so generational wealth could be, I'm going to make sure that my kids, my grandkids are going to be able to have a down payment for a home when they graduate from college. I'm going to be able to make sure that they have enough money to go to college. It can be, I'm going to make sure that they have a trade that they can use. And because maybe I'm a carpenter, and I'm going to make sure I pass that on, whether they're my daughter or my son, you know, I'm going to make sure that I pass on these skill sets. Generational wealth doesn't always have to be money either. It can be, I'm going to make sure that I pass on a legacy of health. I was just talking to my mother even the other day, and, you know, my sisters and I have two sisters, and we're all about trying to do things naturally, and obviously we're not perfect, you know, so, you know, we'll eat the bad foods every once in a while, but we definitely are focused on our health and being able to eat properly, and, you know, we believe health is wealth. And so my mom was just saying, I'm just really commend you guys for being that way. And I said, you know what, that is a legacy you're leaving. You did that. You and my dad did that. You guys have been the ones that have set the example. So that is why, when I brought up the health part, that is why I say that it is an individual decision. It's a family decision. But, you know, it does connect with money, but it also connects with your values as a family and what you want to pass on. I mean, you see people like the Carnegies and the Rockefellers, they have trust, and those are being passed on to the next generation. If you're philanthropic, passing that on. and making sure that you're helping even the next community beyond even just your family. So generational wealth and legacy, it's a very personal conversation, and it's, you know, and everybody has their own perspective, but hopefully I was able to give some ideas on, you know, maybe if you're just caught up in your day-to-day work and you're like, but I do want that. I want to look past myself and past today and me just taking care of what I need today. That's what generational wealth is.
Yeah, actually, I appreciate you saying those, some of those practical ideas of what that would look like in terms of, it could be education or it could be skills, it could be a lifestyle. So that's great.
You know, within the Muslim community, I think we have several challenges in regards to specifically Muslim women building wealth. A lot of our community members, the women, if they're married, they may not work because of taking care of the children and the household. And sometimes that might lead to, once the children are off to college, they'll start, you know, working again. So they're a little bit behind as far as building income. And then we also have a lot of, you know, single Muslim sisters who are not married, and then they're building their portfolio on their own. Specifically for these type of situations, do you have any advice on how they can, you know, create investment vehicles so that they'll be okay in their retirement years and beyond?
Yes, that's definitely a great question. And there, you know, if you have a spouse, obviously, if that, let's talk to the married women, your spouse is working. This is good when you talk to a financial advisor, your tax advisor, but there are vehicles like spousal IRAs. So if you're not bringing in an income, you guys, you and your spouse can really decide, okay, well, no, yeah, you're not bringing in an income, but the IRS is allowing you. They understand that this happens in various households. The IRS will allow you to open up a spousal IRA and to be able to fund that. And you work with a financial advisor, just make sure that you qualify and that, you know, you are understanding how much you can put away, and that those specifics would be detailed in that discussion. And so that is one way to do it. Also, another is to have that conversation with your spouse, your husband, to say, okay, we need to start saving, putting away, even in a brokerage account, and for me, and or making sure that that brokerage account also has my name on it, or my I am the beneficiary. I mean, there's a lot of things to just make sure you're involved in that. And when you decide you're ready to go back to work, you at least have something going. Another thing I would say too is multiple streams of income is super important, no matter whether you're married or whether you're single, and or whether you are, you know, working in the home, because that is work. You're just not getting paid for it. But it's good to see how can you use your day and even work with your spouse to say, how can we bring in another stream of income? And then I can manage that. Maybe I'll manage that at nighttime. Maybe I'll manage that when the kids are at school. Bringing in an additional stream of income is super important. So many of the multimillionaires that when I did my research in my book, I talked about multiple streams of income, and they have at least three streams of income. So whether you're married or single, I'm a big fan of working towards getting multiple streams of income. And then there were quite a few. So, and it dwindles down, but it starts off, the majority of those multimillionaires had three income streams. And then as you get further out into multiple more income streams, like seven or eight income streams, that number was smaller, but it's a good goal to work towards seven or eight income streams. So there's ways, you know, passive income, there's investing, there's so many different things out there that, you know, a woman can just multiply her, you know, I know it's a lot, it's a handful to have kids at home and manage a whole household. But if there was a way to bring in an additional income stream, that'll be a great way to help her alleviate the concern of being behind. The other thing for single women who are, you're out there working, again, I can't emphasize enough, make sure that you also are looking at bringing in some additional income streams. You can look at your talent. You can look at interests that you have. When I was working on my program, I remember one particular woman that I interviewed, because I interviewed a lot of people to try to see what people need. And she was working full time, taking care of herself. She's still single, actually. And she ended up overhearing a conversation. She was at a restaurant, and these women were talking about, they were talking actually about weaves and getting a weave and what have you. And she was like, wow, that is a really interesting conversation. So she decided to butt in. Hearing that, it inspired her. So she reached out to got connected to a hairstylist, and they became partners in business. And she started selling online, hair online. And so it's a nice additional stream of income for her. And then in the beginning of the pandemic, she realized, wow, this mask thing is pretty popular. So she jumped on that opportunity and found a vendor and started selling masks through Etsy, and was making anywhere from 1,000 to, you know, I think it was about either 1,000 a week or 1,000 a month. But either way, I mean, an extra $1,000 a week or a month would be awesome. And she just enjoyed it. So find something that you enjoy. And then as a single woman working, or even if you're married and you're working, but definitely, you know, work on your retirement plan at work, you know, take advantage of the match that they give you. That's free money. And then start to work on making sure that you have an emergency fund. So it's nothing like, especially if you only have one income stream coming in, it's nothing like having an emergency. You know, it rains outside, the roof, you know, starts to have a leak. It's never convenient. And so you just want to make sure you have that rainy day fund. And so there's so many things to consider. Consider your goals. Consider, you know, you want to retire. We talk about that a lot, but maybe you want to buy a house. So maybe in the next 5 to 10 years, you want to have a down payment. Maybe you want to take a huge trip that you hadn't been able to take, and you save for that. There's so many goals, and you do that maybe in the next 5 to 10 years, or do that next year. I mean, whatever it is, but definitely have a game plan in place. So with all of those things, it's going to take having a game plan and really sitting down and putting some action to it.
Yeah, and I talk with women a lot about, you know, at the end of the day, we're just going to have to multitask. I mean, we're just going to have to create all these, you know, buckets for each category, and we have to multitask. And it can get pretty frustrating for women in particular because of, you know, student loan debt and credit card debt. And, you know, maybe they want to get married, maybe they want to have children, maybe they have to take care of their elderly parents. Do you have, you know, some advice for not only women, but people who may feel overwhelmed at all the things they need to do?
Yes, it can be super overwhelming. And what I tell people is, you know, start with the one thing. List out everything that you have to do, because I'm doing a lot of things. And women, we are really good at multitasking too. And for some reason, and I don't know, maybe I'll just speak for myself. For some reason, I'm always adding a new task. I have friends that are just like, okay, you just wrote a book and you say you're going to take a break, but watch, we're going to see you add something else. But we've got to learn how to, you know, take breaks. We got to learn how to rest. List out everything, though, that you have going on, and then really look at your values. Look at your values. What do you value? Independence? Do you value security? Do you value leaving a legacy? There's so many different lists of values, and that way you can start to prioritize which thing you're going to work on. Because, yeah, I saw a meme last week. It seemed to be going around last week that they said, so you mean I need to take care of my kids, I need to go to work, I need to wash the dishes, I need to clean the house, I need to work out, eat right, sleep 8 hours, and somehow get all of this stuff done. And it was just like, it can be super overwhelming. But when you're overwhelmed, I believe in listing things out and then prioritizing what's next. And then have a community of people. That's another thing. So for one, a community can help lift the heavy load, but a community can also help you to see what's super important and what's not. And I think that's important as well. So you can even vent with people and they can help you say, okay, yeah, you don't need to be doing that right now. And I'm a big proponent. I don't like the term balance because I just feel like it's hard to get everything in balance. To me, that's too stressful to say, okay, let's just make sure everything is in balance. And it's also this thing of being perfect, and I don't like that either. I prefer to just make progress and then just have things be in harmony with each other. So maybe the dishes don't get done, you know, like sometimes we just have to give ourselves grace and there's things that we may or may not be able to do, but something has to give. And that's the honesty that I had to come to, like something ends up having to give. And it's a matter of just really listing out your priorities and figuring out what is the most important thing for you right now.
That was so awesome. I loved everything you said. Yes, it's so important to just give yourself grace. I mean, that's such an important concept because, yeah, you know, we're not robots, we're not machines, we're human beings, and real life happens.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can't be everything to everyone, even to ourselves, you know? So it's like, let's not be stress ourselves out.
Amira, did you have any final comments and questions?
I was just going to say, I really enjoyed the focusing on progress and not balance, because you do hear that a lot, right? The balancing, everyone needs to feel like they have to balance, you know, all the tasks we do and being a mom, being a wife, et cetera, all of our roles. But that really put it into perspective, and that all the roles we carry, we can't we can change our mindset around that. So I really, really enjoyed that. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
I think we covered quite a good amount, but I do want to give Shahara an opportunity to kind of maybe share where we can find you, kind of what your day-to-day looks like, what kind of services you offer in addition to where we can find your books. I think this is a great introduction and I love for people to know where you are.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you, Amira. So I love Instagram. And so again, back to balance, I might be off and on sometimes, but my, Instagram handle is Money and Move. So if you want to find me there, follow me there. And then also my firm is called Your Story Financial. So I work with people one-on-one in terms of helping them with planning. And to me, it's not just about a plan. It is planning. So I call myself a financial life planner strategist because we are constantly looking at, the present, but we also look at your future. You know, if I see anything that you need to be looking towards or planning towards, then we talk about that. And then I do investment management with my financial planning firm. But I'm also building up with my book and my group coaching, and building up Your Story Financial Academy. And so obviously you can find my book in the meantime, Own Your Financial Narrative, on Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes and Noble, all online. And then I'm starting to branch out to local bookstores too. I'm in Dallas, so I'm working on that first. And then with my group coaching, I'm starting the next cohort of my Money Mastermind. So I don't know when this is going to air, but we're still going to continue the Money Mastermind and talking to people and helping them to enroll in it. But all the things I talk about in my book, a lot of the stuff we talked about in today's podcast episode, we discuss further, and it's all about that community that I was talking about, just furthering that conversation and not making it seem like it's just something, a pie in the sky, but we're actually going to create an action plan to create generational wealth and be a part of the movement to close the racial wealth gap. That's the goal.
That is amazing. Shahara, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you both, Amira and Lisa. And I really appreciate this conversation. It was really fun today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to have you. We'll chat soon.
All right. Take care, everyone. Thank you so much.
We want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for taking the time out of your day to listen to our show. Feel free to reach out to us at muslimwomenandfinance@gmail.com with any thoughts, comments, feedback, or questions. We would love to hear from you. And you can also find us on Instagram at hashed.fine, F-I-N, and at AmiraE, and join the Facebook group Muslim Women and Finance. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave us a rating and review. Thank you.